obviously, you know, we don't have like horse and carriage anymore. All this stuff like evolves and evolves, right? And you have to like, you don't have to do anything, but you should kind of hop on the wave and like see what you can do with the stuff that came out.
Building a successful career in the tech industry can be difficult these days. Rapidly evolving technologies, the constant need for new skills, and the daunting task of standing out in a crowded field, the journey to a successful career field is full of challenges. But there's a path brimming with opportunities for those who know where to look and how to leverage their unique strengths. That's where our guest in today's podcast comes into play, Josh Matacore. Josh isn't just an educator, he's a mentor, content creator, and a guiding light for those looking to forge their path in the IT industry. His dedication to sharing resources and knowledge has made a profound impact, helping countless individuals gain skills and the confidence needed to tackle the challenges of this tech-driven world. So without any further ado, let's roll to this week's episode.
Yeah, my name's Josh. I've been in IT since 2007 or so. I've worked in IT, cybersecurity, and some development as well. Initially, I cared a lot about my employability, and I was like really scared to like not being able to replace my current job. So led me to being really good at job hunting, which led me to doing YouTube and trying to help other people job hunt and get into IT. So yeah, that's kind of my background.
I kind of actually want to dive a little bit deeper into your journey and talk about some of the challenges and triumphs you faced along your journey into the IT field.
In the beginning, of course, I didn't really know how to get into the field, I guess. I kind of had that initial mindset like, oh, you have to like get a degree and then, you know, certifications, which I mean, it helps a lot, right? But I just didn't know like how to make myself employable and like how, like what made a good resume and like what, how I should be applying. So I just kind of floundered with that quite a bit, and it took me a couple of years to get my first job. And then again, it took me like a while to get into cybersecurity. Just basically to answer your question, I didn't know like the proper way to apply to stuff, and I didn't know like what was important, if that makes sense. And I just did a bunch of stuff until I ended up, you know, finding jobs eventually.
So I kind of want to talk about the current state, you know, diving right on in. I want to talk about the current state of the IT and cybersecurity industry in particularly. I'm noticing it seems like there's a skill gap and an increasing demand for qualified professionals. You know, do you kind of agree with that, or do you think the market is in kind of in a slowdown right now?
It seems like it's in a slowdown based on like the general sentiment of people, you know, but I do think there is like a skill gap as well. And there is like a lot of jobs, because I look on Indeed like quite often and, you know, LinkedIn, and there's like a lot of jobs. And you see like, you know, Google and big tech doing something with their layoffs, but that's not really like indicative of the whole industry. That's just big tech doing their thing. And there's like a lot of other companies that are not really affected necessarily by like, you know, the economic climate, if that makes sense. So there's a bit of both, I guess I would say.
It seems like it kind of goes in ebbs and flows sometimes. And the economy feels like it's going through a downturn. Some people say the market can get saturated during that time, you know, people, but learning on what skills, you know, you need to make yourself stand out from the crowd can be really, you know, a useful thing to know. For people who are just trying to break into the field, what are some skills should they be focusing on to really kind of stand out from all the other noise?
Yeah. Are we talking about IT and cybersecurity, or just tech in general?
Yeah, just kind of, tech in general.
So for any given job, like what you should focus on, What I, this is really weird, and I'm going to make content about this. Rather, I made it. It just hasn't been released yet. For certain jobs, what I like to do is I'll go to like Indeed. This is a really weird thing to do, by the way. And I'll collect like 100 job descriptions and titles. And then I'll use GPT to like parse those out and see what like, employers are asking for and like what's popular, if that makes sense. So I did it recently for IT jobs. And of course, like, there was like a lot of like Azure, AWS, Active Directory, ticketing systems, this kind of stuff like came out a lot. So that's kind of like an indicator if you want to work in entry-level IT, like, okay, maybe I should really familiarize myself with cloud computing. Maybe I should do a bunch of Active Directory labs, because the more you do those labs and like practice that stuff, it becomes like easier for you to talk about it when you finally get to the interview, and it gives you something to put on your resume. So yeah, I observe like a large chunk of jobs in the area that I want to work and just pull out stuff that it looks like people are asking for, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Have you noticed like a certain trend of like, you know, the requirements starting to shift a little bit more for jobs, or jobs starting to focus more on certifications versus like a degree, or, you know, how are you seeing things change?
This is me personally. I don't know if this is the reality of things, but I feel like job descriptions are getting a bit more realistic these days from what I've been looking at recently. They get made fun of a lot when they say like entry level and you need 5 years of experience. Like that still exists, but I've been seeing it less. So I think that they're getting a bit more realistic about it. And also they're coming to realize it's good to have a degree, and they will always put like bachelor's in computer science or related field. They'll put this, but from what I see, they're more like, it's not like a hard requirement anymore. Cause I see like a lot of people who go through my courses, not everybody has a degree, right? And they're obviously getting jobs. I can talk to them about it a bit. So I think employers are getting like a bit more realistic about it, but you still need to like convey your ability to like do the work on your resume. And then you still have to like, you know, convince them to hire you when you get to the interview, but they're getting a bit more realistic from my point of view anyway.
So for those people who have like certifications and stuff versus a degree, you know, apart from just having the certifications, is there other ways people can highlight their skills that they have, whether it's like a personal lab or a blog or something? Have you seen something that, you know, that tends to stand out more?
Yeah, I think people should definitely make a portfolio and make it on the web somewhere, and then put like a short URL on their resume. Because that is a real way to distinguish yourself from your peers. Because it's one thing to be like, I know Azure, like I have, you know, AZ900, or I know AWS, and then you have like something in your portfolio with like pictures and descriptions and like an outline of what you did, and you're explaining like the architecture you implemented. It's like a huge difference. You can really distinguish yourself from your peers and like other people applying if you do something like that. I feel, my opinion.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they start to set out in the IT field, they just focus on like the certifications and what it takes to pass those certifications. But I always say, you know, there's more to building a successful career than just the certifications and just the knowledge you learn from certifications. One thing I always talk about is your soft skills. Your soft skills are super important to building a successful career. Do you agree? And if so, can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. And can I speak to the certification part and then the soft skill part?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So certification, it's good to have. But the thing that bothers me is a lot of people they'll focus on just like having the actual paper. And that having the paper is good on your resume because it will keyword match and stuff. But they have this mindset where they're like, oh, I have this. Now I can like trade it for a job or something. And people will say like, you know, if a certification comes out that's new, that's like really good. Like, for example, like Google Cybersecurity or Google IT Professional. Because like it doesn't say that in the job description, people think that it's like worthless or something. But the content of that thing teaches you, it has like so many hands-on lab, and it has like it teaches you like how to job hunt and all this like other stuff that's actually useful. So certification, like, it kind of gives you two things. Like, first thing is like technical ability and like knowledge, but in the second thing, it can like provide you something to go on your resume. But people focus like too much on like just having the cert, and that kind of like, just be careful not to do that, in my opinion, I guess. This, and the soft skill part, I think this is like really important. It's hard to like quantify it and talk about it. I've made like some content around it, but yeah, it is really important to be, you know, like empathetic and kind and articulate and courteous to people, because when you're sitting down for your interview, because this is the one that like really matters, right? When you're sitting down for your interview, and that maybe they'll ask you like, well, have you worked with Active Directory? And you'll be thinking like, oh, they're judging if I can like work with Active Directory. But the way you like deliver your answer and conduct yourself and like talk and like all that is like being observed, whether or not the interviewer is even aware of it. And if you come off as like arrogant, or you do something like rude or weird, they can kind of, they'll like infer that from the way you talk during an interview. So it's like really, it's really important to like be aware of that. And you know, soft skills are really important. So they're judging more than just like your technical ability during the interview. So just like keep that in mind.
As a hiring manager myself, during my interviews, I will ask questions that I specifically leave open-ended, and because I want to see that person's thought process. I want to see how they work through those problems, how they convey that to maybe a non-technical person, and how they conduct themselves with little information, because I want to see them work through the problem. Like for my organization, we're a small organization, and you know, people that are successful are independent workers, independent thinkers, you know, don't necessarily need that kind of handholding. They're eager to try to learn and take control and stuff like that. So I want to see that during the interview, way you conduct yourself and communicate in your interview. Just keep in mind, you know, the interviewee is not necessarily always looking for your answer to, you know, to a technical question, but how you're going to answer it, if that makes sense.
Can I ask you a question about your interviewing?
Yeah.
Do you expect people to use the STAR method, like the situation task, the action result thing?
I never, you know, kind of expect people to go through that necessarily, because I'm different than I think than the typical hiring manager. I conduct my interviews very much as a conversational framework, where I want to be a casual conversation, because I feel like when I'm putting that person on the spot and they feel like they're in a very rigid interview, they're going to try to impress me. You know, they're going to try to, okay, this is what he's asking, but he's really trying to ask this. Where I feel when I kind of kick it down a notch and go into a conversational mode, they kind of let their guard down, and I kind of see really the true person they are. There's nothing worse than hiring someone and like a week or two later, they start kind of relaxing and you start seeing like, oh, this isn't the person I interviewed. This person's not going to work out, because I've been there. And I've been on the flip side of that, where, you know, in my interviews, I always try to be me. I try to be honest. And a lot of hiring managers can see right through that. You know, if you're trying to put on a show for them and stuff like that. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thanks.
One thing I wanted to point out is you're an instructor for Course Careers. And I really think what Course Careers is doing is kind of unique compared to other online e-learning platforms. One thing is, you know, their curriculum is very career-oriented, hands-on, and they also offer like jobs, placement support, and more. Do you mind kind of giving us a sneak peek on what you do for Course Careers over there and, you know, what's kind of going on behind the scenes?
Okay, so yeah, I'm just like a instructor, right, for Course Careers. And
yeah.
I deliver like the IT course. The way I kind of structured it in my, I don't know the proper word, like I guess my rule is I try to make the curriculum as narrow as possible of what people need in order to like get a job into IT. On purpose, I don't teach like a super broad, because in reality, is if somebody's trying to enter like IT, like entry level IT, the stuff they need to know is what the hiring manager expects them to know. You don't necessarily have to, like, the hiring manager expects you to know this, but you go out and like study this. This takes like, it's good, but it takes like a lot of time to like learn this much. So I teach those like really like basic Active Directory, VPN, ticketing system, this stuff that like most help desk people need to know, and then hands-on, and then the portfolio part. And just, we just try to make, at Course Careers, we try to like laser focus on what makes people super employable so they can get a job like ASAP, instead of, you know, going degree for like four years and then, you know, hoping to make 50K.
I really think that's great. And that's kind of how I got into the field. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to study cybersecurity for 2 years before I even start applying for jobs. That method doesn't work, because you need to start working in the field ASAP, start building experience so you can start evolving into those higher level jobs. Experience is huge. You know, like you're saying earlier, a lot of these jobs are still asking for, you know, bunch of experience. So I think the sooner you can land that first entry level job, even though if it's not quite the job you want, but it's potentially going to give you that experience to be able to land that job you want, is huge in the field.
I really harp on this a lot. I'm like, just get a job ASAP. And because if you want to work in cybersecurity, like almost every like entry level IT job has some component of cybersecurity. Because if you work in help desk and someone's absolutely like, clicked a virus, or I clicked a phishing link or something, that's like you're doing incident response, and then you will be like executing part of a playbook or something, and you can like spin it on your resume and such. So you should, like as you're saying, you should try to work as soon as you can.
That is really, I think, golden advice there. And I kind of want to dive into that a little bit deeper, especially the people that are new and like they're wanting to get that, you know, their big break into the tech field in general. You know, whether it's the long goal is cybersecurity, or if it's networking or whatever, you know, what are some things people can do other than just trying to land that basic entry level job that they can do to give themselves an edge amongst the competition?
So in my opinion, like entry level cybersecurity is kind of like mid level IT. I made this thing called the employability framework. Any job, when it comes to like getting hired, you only have to really care about two things. Like the first thing is like actually getting an interview. And the second thing is passing the interview. And then you have a job, right? To get the interview, if you want to be like as competitive as possible, you just have to look at what a bunch of different employers will care about. Like some people care about certifications. Some people care about degrees. Some people care about experience. You should try to work to like fill those areas. So you might do some research. They can watch your videos and see like what's popular or what HR knows about in terms of certifications, and try to get those certifications in them. Because WGU exists now and you can get a degree like kind of quickly for like kind of inexpensive, it might be worth doing that just so you can take care of like that portion, because some people care about degrees, but if you don't want to get a degree, you have to like make up for it in other areas. So like you can have like a really strong portfolio, right, with some really like relevant projects and articulate all of those things really, really well. Make some experience on your resume. Like if you are, I won't shill my course. I'll do like another way. So for example, if you being like, oh, I'm a cybersecurity content creator / cybersecurity evangelist, and you make a bunch of educational cybersecurity content where you teach people about the labs that you did and you post it on like LinkedIn and YouTube. And then you make like your own like company or something. You say like cybersecurity, like content creator, and you have tangible like links to the stuff that you've done. That's way better than not having anything on your resume at all. And it's something that you can do yourself. It helps a lot for sure. So just, I guess to answer your question, look at the stuff that people care about, like degrees, certification, et cetera, experience, and then think about what you can do and just do that thing really, really hard. And then of course, make sure your resume is like ATS compliant, like, you know, all those things.
There's a couple of things from that I want to unpack. The first question is, let's say I'm new to the IT field. I have no prior work experience in the field. I'm trying to get that first job so I can eventually get a cybersecurity job. When I'm applying for jobs and I'm seeing jobs that, of course, I probably don't meet the qualifications because I don't have that previous experience, should I still be applying for those jobs, do you think? Or should I be waiting and trying to figure out other jobs I should apply for?
Yeah, you should definitely apply. You shouldn't be like completely naked in the sense that you don't know anything, right? But if you right. know stuff, you should definitely apply. I had like a security analyst job at Microsoft that paid $120K, and I only knew what like three of the requirements were on the sheet. I didn't know anything else, but obviously I have done other stuff as well. If you can articulate that well on your resume, and if you get an interview and you can articulate it in the interview, like, oh, I haven't worked with AWS, but I've done like ABC and XYZ and Azure that relates. Of course they're going to like, that's enough, right? Because humans are so strong and they can learn anything. And if you show that you've done like ABC, obviously you'll be able to do like XYZ, right? That's how I think about that.
The other thing I want to touch on that you mentioned was ATS, and not everyone that's starting out really knows what that term is, you know, what that stands for. Do you kind of want to dive into why that is an important part of, you know, making sure your resume is formatted properly?
Yeah. So ATS stands for, applicant tracking system. You can just think about it like an automated resume scanner, because the humans are tired of like reading resumes. So they will run your resume through the ATS. And if the ATS is like not smart enough, it will like omit big sections of your resume. So for example, if you have like a resume with like two columns or something, it might not know how to deal with that. Or if you put like education, then some kind of like weird line underneath it, and then your education, it's possible that it will omit that whole chunk because like the line you put like confused it for whatever reason. So like a sample resume, just make it like, in my opinion, right, as simple as you can with a font that's like not crazy and really like standardized, to make sure like even the dumbest of resume scanner is able to like, you know, parse it out and infer and like record what you're doing. Cause you don't want to go get a bachelor's degree and spend like, you know, 10K at WGU and like another like 6 months on certs only to have the ATS like completely omit those and reject you. Right. So it's important.
Absolutely. Now, this is a question I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you've gotten asked it before too, but how do the emerging technologies such as AI and blockchain and even IoT, how are they impacting especially the cybersecurity landscape and the job market?
The only answer I can give to that is that it complicates it, I guess, in terms of like the threat landscape. So I guess it's what's that, employability insurance or right. cybersecurity. In terms of like the job market, especially things like AI, it's going to make it so we can do less with more people. But at the same time, as always, when like there's new crazy technology, it ends up making more jobs as well. Likely, I just predict there's going to be a shift. So some jobs will probably go away. Like we're seeing this in software engineering, because I noticed this because I was doing software engineering, or at least development and automation, at Microsoft when GPT came out. And I was like, wow, I can do like the work of five people with this. It's really crazy. So for sure, it's going to like reduce some jobs in some areas, but for sure, it's going to make jobs in other areas, because it just will. So in terms of like what people should do about it, I think you should still, like, if you're trying to get into cybersecurity, it's pretty much you're going to be doing the same thing anyway. But I would recommend like leveraging ChatGPT and like AI to help you with your job preparation process, right? You can get really good at interviewing much faster than otherwise if you use GPT to like dump a job description in GPT and be like, oh, like make me 50 interview questions. Oh, answer the 50 interview questions. And it will make you better, like faster than otherwise, right?
The thing I tell everyone is those that are leveraging AI as the tool that it is are really going to go far in the career field. There's those people out there that say, oh, AI is after our jobs. It's going to take all our jobs. Those people, it is going to take their jobs because they're not willing to adapt and evolve their skills. But I think the people who are willing to leverage AI as the tool that it is are going to be able to advance their careers and go after those higher level positions, making even more money.
Yeah, you have to ride those wave. I would recommend it, because obviously, we don't have like horse and carriage anymore. All this stuff like evolves and evolves, right? And you have to like, you don't have to do anything, but you should kind of hop on the wave and like see what you can do with the stuff that came out. Because if you can do that, you're just going to make yourself more valuable and then, stay relevant and employable and all those things. Don't be scared of it. Just embrace it and try to explore what you can do. Because I use it every day. It's crazy.
It is. I use probably ChatGPT at least almost every day. I'm not quite every day yet, I think, but pretty darn close. It's crazy the things that I'm doing with, able to do with it to automate some of the simplest tasks and make it so I can focus on the more important stuff and the stuff I really enjoy doing. It is a really useful resource. I kind of wanted to backtrack a little bit and talk a little bit more about Course Careers. Course Careers is, I have partnered with them for the creation of this video. I kind of want to talk to your experience with working with Course Careers and some of the uniqueness they offer. Like I mentioned earlier, Course Careers is not your typical online learning platform. What really sets them apart from the other online platforms?
The narrowness of the scope and the quality of the content in the scope that's being delivered, if that makes sense. And we will like revise the course kind of often to make sure it's relevant. And we don't just like dump it on there and leave it. For sure, like we update it and then kind of maintain it as well. And on the sales, there's like the tech sales side and like other courses that are not just IT, but like the tech sales side, they have partnerships with companies where they can like feed students directly into the hiring pipeline. We were working on that for IT, but it doesn't exist quite yet. So I just try to go like really hard on like the job hunting portion of the course. That's how, in my opinion, that's how Course Careers is kind of set apart. It's narrow and it's designed to like fast track you into getting a job instead of like, teaching you a bunch of like theory type stuff, which is good. But the objective is to like help you to get a job like kind of as fast as possible.
And I think, again, it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is I think the sooner you can land that first entry level job in the field, again, it could just be the most basic help desk job, but you're building that experience, and Course Careers is helping you fast track that process to build that experience to land that first job so you can be doing the job that you really want to do quicker than normal. So
yeah, people have been, they're able to do it pretty quick in the IT course. I have a bunch of interviews on my channel, but like 8 weeks, 9 weeks, 10 weeks. There's some people like even less than that. So I feel kind of bad like saying it, but it can be pretty fast. Like you just have to know what the hiring manager expects you to know, and then you can get hired. And once you start working, just, keep studying and keep building your skill and experience. So it's, like you said, it's good to get a job like ASAP, because then after that, it's kind of the pressure is off. You just got to like keep learning.
Absolutely. You know, as we start to land the plane here, if you could go back in time and tell your younger self, you know, any piece of advice that you now know, what would that be?
Oh, gosh. I would have just handed myself the employability framework and be like, just do this. So the problem I did when I was younger is I kind of got like too many certifications without doing anything else. It's good to have them, but if I want to like advance my career, there's more economic ways to do it. Like a couple really relevant certifications and then a ton of labs in portfolio to make your lab work tangible. That's what I've probably would have told my younger self to do. I did practice a lot, but I didn't like put it anywhere where people could see it. So, and I didn't put it on my resume either, oddly enough, which is really weird. So just a lot of practice, make a portfolio of it. And then if you can get a degree at, try to have one just, you know, as an insurance, but yeah, just don't get too many certifications just to have them, right? It's kind of a, not a waste of time, but you can use your time better.
That's a really good piece of advice. You know, I often get people coming to me saying, I'm going to get this certification, and then I'm going to apply for my first job. And I'm like, okay, why are you wasting all your time getting these certifications and money getting these certifications when during that whole time you could be working and making money and potentially having your employer pay for these certifications and all that?
Yep.
Also, to me, like as a hiring manager, I'm going to put my hiring manager hat on. When I see someone that is applying for a job and they got like 10 different certifications, they have alphabet soup after their name, but they haven't put any of that to any practical use. I'm going to be like, okay, this person's great at taking certification exams, but obviously they don't know how to actually implement those skills because they don't have any experience. So they're instantly going to go into the rejected pile to me in my mindset. Is that kind of what you experienced as well?
Yeah, well, I must have experienced that because I was kind of slow to get a job and like slow to advance my career. So that's probably what I experienced. Yeah.
You know, if people want to kind of connect with you more, see what you're doing over at Course Careers, or just, you know, connect with you, see the content you're putting out, where can they find you?
They can find me on YouTube at Josh Matacor. And then, of course, I'm on LinkedIn as well. And I post there sometimes, but usually YouTube. I'll try to post more on LinkedIn, but yeah.
I think that's where I've actually first came across, you know, your content was over on YouTube. You make some really great videos over there.
Oh, thank you. You too, actually. You too.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. We'll definitely make sure and link those up in the description for people who want to watch more and learn more about what you're doing.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, again, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the channel and share some amazing wisdom with us. And yeah, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you too. It's an honor to come in here and chat with you. We'll have to do like another one of these somehow in the future.
Absolutely. No, I definitely would love to have you back on the channel.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, everyone, I really hope you enjoyed this video. And until next time, keep learning.